Job of the church? Of course it's the job of the church. I mean, why else would we be here? Folks, the job of the church is not to see how many people that we can get to come. Now, don't get me wrong, I love a crowd. I like for us to pack this place out. It just makes me feel so good. But it's not the job of the church to pack the church house. The job of the church is to teach the Word of God. And to teach it unapologetically. To not apologize. I know what apologetics are. But not to apologize for anything that the Bible says. Teach it. Teach the truth. Teach it to our children. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy over in the Old Testament. Numbers, what's that next book? Drillers? Deuteronomy 11. Look at verse 18. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, that's all you see. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Is there any other time? That's all the time. That's all the time. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon earth. You know why we're living in hell on earth? Because we have not taught the Word of God to our children. Now here we go. Here's my plan. If you'd been in Bible drill the last 3 years, you would know that in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12, about Christians and social concerns. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Could you pull that up? Could you pull that up out of your memory of the verses? Yeah, you could, couldn't you? And those that have taken Bible drill and memorized those verses would be able to pull that up. What about education? Show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalms 25, verse 45. What about last things? If someone were to ask you about last things and say the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel, Mark 1, verse 15. How about stewardship? I've shown you all things. How that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now I've just picked out just a few. It goes in a 3-year cycle. doctrinal verses, last things, and this is the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Religious liberty, Acts 5 verse 29, God, John 1 verse 14. What does God say about family commitment? Ruth 1, 16, 17. What does the Bible say about obedience? What does the Bible say about facing fear? Psalms 34 and verse 4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from my fears. What does the Bible say about renewal? What does the Bible say about a godly woman? Y'all, most of you would know where that was found at. You know that if you went to Proverbs 31, you'd find that. What does the Bible say about loving God and others? Matthew 22. What does the Bible say about handling stress? Would you like to know where that's found at? What does the Bible say about our thoughts in Philippians 4, verse 8 and verse 9? This is how I think that we can win the battle. This is how I believe, this is what I think that our battle strategy should be. As I watch the Bible drillers and I listen to them quote those verses just one right after another, and they begin to ask those doctrinal questions. How can a man be saved? Give the plan of salvation. And I watch those young people step forward and start quoting those verses just from their memory, just bang, bang, bang. I mean, the very second that it was read, they were on the line. One right after another. Many, many, many verses that they had committed to memory. Well, that's all well and good. All you got to do is just make your kids come to Bible drill, right? And they don't want to come. And it's hard. And they'd rather do this. Or they'd rather play ball. Or they'd rather do something else. Of course they would. Here's the solution. Here's what we do. Many of you have children that are getting ready to go into the fourth grade, or they are from the fourth grade to the eighth grade, or ninth grade, is it, Gwen? Eighth?
They go all the way through high school now, but ninth grade is the end.
Ninth grade. From the fourth grade to the ninth grade. This is what you do. Are you ready? You make an agreement with your kids. I'll do it with you. I'll learn the verses. We'll compete with one another. And I'll know it. I'll know it when it comes to the questions. I'll know the questions. I'll know the answers when I face it on my assembly line, or when I'm down at the service station, or I'm in the line at Walmart. I will know the Word of God. I'll have the Word of God hid in my own heart. And I'll start now. And I'll learn those verses. You know what that would mean? You know what that would mean? I think that it's not a matter of telling our kids, if you're going to do this, you can't be involved in baseball. If you're going to do this, you can't be involved in basketball. I don't think it's a matter of that. I think that it is a matter of the Word of God becoming important to us as adults. And when our children see the Word of God become important to us as adults, and not just telling them what to do, you know, not being involved in that kid's Bible drill is almost like bringing them to the door for Sunday school and dropping them off, and then you go and doing something that you want to do. So, I think that we should set a goal of not less than 20 young people participating in Bible drill. Young people participating in Bible drill. And all of their parents, every Sunday, being there, learning the memory verses and competing with their own children at home and working with the drillers that are here. Our Bible drillers have always done fantastic. They've always just been a great blessing to me. If your child just does the church drill, doesn't go on to compete in regionals or state, they've learned so much scripture. They've done so well. God is going to make such a difference in their life. Now this is what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting to be challenged by an adult that says, "Brother Lenny, what about you? You're challenging us. What are you going to do? Your own. Put your money where your mouth is." Oh, let's not make a bet. Gwen don't like for us to bet. I'm telling you, I'd be rich if she'd take those bets. Let's stand together. I told my wife this morning that this is the hardest message. The message that I was getting ready to preach was the hardest one I'd ever preached. And she said, "Are you just working at making them all mad?" I said, "Yeah, if I make them mad enough, they'll fire me." Not mad, but challenged. Challenged. It's harder as you get older. It's harder. I know it is. To learn those verses, but I want us to make God's word the number one thing in our lives, and it won't be for naught. God will bless it in your lives. Are you here today and do not know Christ as your Savior? Would you step out from where you're at, come to where I'm at, receive the Lord as your Savior, make Him your Savior today by asking Him into your heart? If you're here today and God's dealt with your heart about becoming a part of this fellowship, by following the Lord in believer's baptism, and doing what God would call you to do, getting to that blue part on that bracelet, or if you're here and God's dealing with your heart about making a recommitment to Him, I invite you to come today. As we sing, you come.